This is the way God designed it for the Christian life. He designed it like a flock of birds. He designed it kind of like that video right there. When I see that, I think of Daniel. That's who I think of. I think of Daniel who doesn't fit in, who doesn't match all the other things that's around him. And he didn't ask to be there. He didn't ask to be that way. He was just put there. He was just stuck right in the middle of that, and those were the people around him, but yet he had to be who he was. And in the process, he showed some things and he proved some things that I hope that this year will help you. Because I look at the kings that he had to deal with, all the four different kings that he was under in his life, and they're almost like new years to him. They're almost like new seasons of his life that he has to deal with and he has to overcome and he has to decide, how am I going to act and how am I going to be and what is my purpose in life? And so maybe in this room today, every one of us is going to be at a different aspect or a different place in this journey. Every one of us in here are either under a Nebuchadnezzar, or we're under a Darius, or we're under a Cyrus, or we're under a Belshazzar. We're under somebody that is constantly in our life. And we've got to decide how that person or how that situation or how that year is going to depict us and how we're going to impact it. Let me show it to you this way. Let's go through these four kings. And this morning I want to show you how, no matter where you are in this room, you're going to have to decide how I'm going to handle that king and that season of my life. That person, the Daniel person, can't change. But what I need to be during each season of my life does change. When I was young and 18 years old, I was an evangelist. Big change from becoming a pastor. And then a bigger change as the church grew and I became a builder. And I became different things to different people. And so everything about life is not that, quote, the look at me I change, but my place changes, and what I'm supposed to do changes, and my purpose changes. And so some of us in this room may be fighting the fact that, well, I like the way I am. Well, tough, because God's not going to leave you unless you just bail out on Him and hide out somewhere. He's not going to leave you in the same season, under the same king, under the same situation. You're going to change jobs. Or you're going to come into a grandchild or a child, or you're going to come into a marriage, or you're going to come into a new season of coming out of school and now I'm in the work world. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to have to change. I know we fight that. I know 20 and 30, 40-year-old people still trying to live at mom's house and trying to hang on to that. I'm still a kid. But it will change whether you like it or not. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is, according to Daniel's dream, he is the purest of kings. He is the more total king package. He is among the kings that Daniel will be under. He's the most complete. He has the most power, the most authority. There's no kingdom like the kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. There's no king like him. But here's what Daniel realized in his life. And let's look at what Daniel goes through Nebuchadnezzar. Through this phase of Daniel's life, this is where he has to establish within him, in this season, righteousness and wisdom. Maybe you're in a situation right now. Maybe you're in a season of your life that right at this moment, what you've got to have more than anything else is righteousness and wisdom. You're making a lot of decisions. You're making a lot of determinations of where you're going to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years of your life. You need a lot of wisdom. You need righteousness, because really and truly there ain't a whole lot of things you can change right now. You're not in a power position. You're in a position of just decisions. I can decide. I can put myself. I can place myself under certain people. I can pick whether I'm going to take this job or that job. I can determine whether I'm going to work at that hospital or that hospital. I can determine whether I'm going to work good at school or I'm just going to sleep during school. I'm at a point in my life. I can't change who's over me right now, but I have an awful lot to say about whether I'm going to walk in righteousness and in wisdom. And so during this season of Nebuchadnezzar, we see stories that match this, and it proves out Daniel's season of his life. We find that the moment he gets there, he realizes that the food that they're eating and the things that they do to the food before it's sent to them to be eaten, it's not proper. It's not the way God designed it. So in wisdom and righteousness, he first has to stand with three other people, and he has to say, listen, we're not trying to cause problems. Let's deal with this in a wise way. Let us for a certain season eat what we're supposed to eat. If we don't look better, if we don't seem like we're better to you, then we'll do whatever you ask us to do. Understand now, Daniel is not in a power position. He is not in a position to just stick his chest out and say, kill me if you want to. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to bring God into the situation. His purpose is to show God where he is in his life. And where he is at the bottom of the totem pole. Where he is he's at the place where, you know what, I don't have a lot of say. I don't have a lot of place. I don't have a lot of voice. In fact, I can barely get a meeting with this bottom-dwelling unit leader that just takes the slaves and basically turns them into workable people. And so that's who I'm working with. And he goes to him and says, listen, if you'll just give us the opportunity, I will show you that by eating what we're supposed to eat and doing what we're supposed to do, I'm going to prove out to you that God's way is a better way. Within 10 days, guess what happens? Their flesh looks better. They're healthier than all the other ones that had been eating the king's meat and been eating all the junks and stuff that they had been putting in front of them. And now all of a sudden the eunuch says, listen, take away everything that everybody else eats and put everybody on this Daniel-type diet. Isn't it amazing? Now, it doesn't end there because Nebuchadnezzar has, a short time later, a dream. When Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, it bothers him to such a degree that he literally puts a decree. He says, look, I want my magicians, I want the Chaldeans, I want all of you that are supposed to be soothsayers, tell me my dream. Well, we'll try. No. If you can't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill all of you. Who has the position of power? Nebuchadnezzar. Who has the righteousness and wisdom? Daniel. What you're going to find out in this season of your life is that you're going to look for places to find favor and places where your boss all of a sudden likes you and others can't understand, well, why does he let you do this? And I remember when I went through this season of my life and the boss would say, Tim, this Saturday, would you work in the produce department? And others say, well, he won't ever let me do that. And I don't know why he's letting me do that. Well, it's because literally I do everything they ask me to do. I'm going to do it to my best of my ability. I'm going to respect him. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. Does it mean I agree with everything he does? No. Does it mean that I'm going to just go amen everything as far as getting drunk on the weekends and smoking like a freight train all during the day and all the things that I'm thinking, man. But who's in the position of power? He is. Some of us don't realize that as Christians. We think our whole job is to jump in there and just cause a mess. Just tell them like it is. If you walk in wisdom and righteousness long enough, I promise you this, that you'll get your opportunity. But if you don't walk in righteousness and wisdom, I can promise you this, that even when you think you're going to get your opportunity, people will laugh at you. I see more Christians laughed at because they stick their foot in their mouth when it's not their place to be talking. It's their place to be listening. Daniel gets word that they're all fixing to get killed. And he talks to the head of the man that are supposed to do the killing. And he says, listen, don't cause any problems. In fact, go with me. Let's read through this. Just hit the high points of this before I tell the rest of it. Chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Or in other words, he could not rest anymore. He could not sleep anymore. And he passes the decree. Go with me to verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Now, were these good men that he's saving? These are fortune tellers, soothsayers, crystal ball readers. And Daniel could have just said, look, kill every one of them, but don't kill me. Only save me. Think of how you would have acted in that position. Think of your attitude. Well, I tell you what, if you'll fire those three, you can count on me. No, Daniel says, don't mess with the witches. Don't mess with any of these others. Don't go killing people, hanging people. Don't do that. Don't harm nobody. Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king. And I will show the king the interpretation. Daniel is realizing, if I walk in righteousness and I walk in wisdom, something about my life is going to change. And maybe this year is your year to be the first year of your life that you ever walked in any wisdom and any righteousness. I mean, really. This is the first year where you're going to decide, you know what, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to act right. I'm not going to watch the stuff I'm not supposed to watch. I'm turning my radio station to stuff that's good. And this year is the year I'm going to fill myself with as much wisdom, as much righteousness. Man, I'm even going to get up on Tuesday mornings and come to the Bible study. I'm going to do things I've never done before because everything about my life begins right here. I have to have a mindset that I will be a learner this year. I will grow from where I am to where I'm supposed to be. I am not going to remain at the same level that I'm at for one more year, for one more week, for one more day. One of the greatest qualities, if I have any qualities that you could ever learn, is simply this. I am a continual learner. I constantly am a learner. I have never figured it all out. I don't claim to have figured it all out, but I do know this. I will find somebody who's further down the road than I am, and I will latch on, and I will figure out something that I didn't know before. I will find the book. I will find it on the internet. I will find somebody. If I have to drive 500 miles to go sit down and talk to them, I will figure it out. And that's the quality that is required to begin the first process of your life. You have to. I saw the ball game yesterday, and the University of Virginia was playing, and their commercial was built on that. I don't know if you saw it, probably not sports fans, but the commercial about the University of Virginia, that's what it said. It says, the place where we learn that we'll always be learners. And I thought, that is so cool. The place where we learn that we will always be learners. Daniel was not saying, look, I've got it all figured out. Daniel says, but this one thing I know I've grown enough to handle. I've got enough righteousness and I've got enough wisdom that I can handle this situation. I don't want to solve all the political problems. I'm not ready to deal with all the issues that's in the kingdom, but I am ready to meet the king and I am ready to handle this problem because I'm ready for this occasion in my life. You can amen me if you want to. Some of you, your whole life is fixing to begin, whether it does or not, on whether or not you're going to walk in wisdom and righteousness. Nothing else is going to work in your life until you do that. Because you can do 8 things right and foul it up with one dumb thing. Anybody ever lived that life? And in our life, that's the way it has to be. We have to decide, I am going to give myself to wisdom. I'm going to give myself to learning. I'm going to give myself to attaching myself to people that are accomplishing and doing and becoming what I am supposed to be in my life. Now, Nebuchadnezzar then, go to verse 27. Should be pretty close. Daniel answered in the presence of the king. Notice what he says. The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. Now, he didn't kill any of them, but what did he do to them? He left them in the place that they are. One of the key things that I don't think people understand today is that you don't have to kill the person next to you to get higher. We're of a mentality, I guess it's the political systems we work in and all the things we're taught that you know, you gotta step on the whoever and you gotta cut down the whoever and you gotta... No. I don't know where all that crept in, or I guess it's just a worldly mentality. But what your job is to make sure everybody is at the level that they're supposed to remain at. I don't have nothing against a guy that's bumming on the side of the road. I don't drive by him and say, he ought to get a job. That ain't my place. But at the same time, I'm not going to worry all the time about that guy. Well, you should. No. Because if that's the level he wants to live at, then I'm good with it. I know that just breaks your heart. Because his level is, please give me $5. That's all I want. I don't want help. I don't want a job. I don't want to do more. I don't want to learn more. I just want $5. If I've got $5, okay, I'll because that's the level you're going to be at. Do you know what? Next week when I come back, you think he'll still need $5? Because that's the level he's living at. Now, don't get down on him, because some of you live from paycheck to paycheck. Some of you live from $5 to $5. You live from one light bill to the next light bill, and you keep complaining every month. Can I tell you, that's the level you live at. If you don't want to know no more, or do no more, or become any more, then don't complain the next 15th of next month when that bill comes in like some big shot. Like, oh, I can't believe it. You knew for 30 days it was coming. You knew the car was going to run out of gas. You knew you needed money to pay for more gas. Whatever level you want to live at. Most of the complaints or most of the prayers that people want me to pray for them has nothing to do with miracles. What most of the prayers people want me to pray for them is simply this. Brother Lot, I want to live at this level, but I want this reward. Can you pray that I can live at this level and get this reward? I mean, if I want to keep on drinking, smoking, partying, doing everything I do, but you know what? I'd love to find a good mate. Well, the next one you find passed out on the floor, we'll just hope she's a good one. The next one you pick up at the bar, we'll just hope she just staggered in that night in a good mood and she's all ready to become the woman of your dreams. Duh! It don't work that way. Y'all missing so many good times. Clap your hands. Somebody. I think some of y'all stayed up past 12 o'clock. The problem is that most prayers are about, Brother Lot, I want to do it this way, and I want to act this way, and I want to work this hard, and I want to do this, but I want this reward. It ain't happening, Susie. It's not going to happen. I want what you got, Brother Lot. Well, let's see how many hours you want to work every day. Let's see how hard you want to give. Let's see how far you want to go. Let's see how much of yourself you want to give away. And Daniel had the understanding, and Daniel had the wisdom to be able to understand that, listen, let everybody stay where they are in their life. King, if you want to have soothsayers on the payroll, you have soothsayers on the payroll. If you want to have magicians that entertain you, you go ahead and do it. That's your business. You the boss. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You go ahead and do it. But I will tell you this, that none of them can reach the level that I can reach. That's bold. No, it's just a fact. None of them. I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not a beggar. I'm not a borrower. I'm not a complainer. I'm not a whiner. I'm none of these things. So understand, when you hang around me, this is not what you're going to get from me. If you want to keep them around or on the payroll or do whatever, you go ahead, King. But the fact is that I serve somebody who raises me to a higher level. Notice how he says this. They cannot do this. Verse 28. I love this part. He's talking to the king, but notice what he says. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Let me explain to you why I'm on a different level. It's not because I'm smarter than the soothsayer, or I look better than the astrologer, or I have any of this, but I know a God who is higher and knows the secrets of everything, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. He says, King, when you're pushing up daisies, this God will still be going. In fact, this God, O king, knows the end before he knows the beginning. He already knows who's going to be king after you, and he knows
knows who's going to be king after that one. And He knows who's going to be king after that one. When all of them are still gone, He will still be God. He will still be reigning. He will still be ruling. There have been times in my life, some of the greatest moments in my life, where I've been around my bosses and I've been around people in my life. And I've had the opportunity at those rare moments to be that person that, even though I'm an employee or I'm a nobody on the stage, yet at the same time, just that one moment of wisdom propels you to the next place in your life. It just propels you. That one word, that one statement, that one... You don't know where it comes from. You don't know how you get it. I sit in board meetings with men that are twice my age, that have been pastoring twice as long as I have, and I sit there and they all look toward me for answers, and I'm thinking, Lord, this isn't right. But understand, it's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing. It's the fact of, Tim, you're a learner, and you continually listen, and you haven't already stopped learning, and you haven't quit, and you're able to see outside boxes that most people can't see. And because you do that, I'm able to speak to you about things that are to come and things that will be. Thy dreams and thy visions of thy head upon the bed are these. And Daniel goes in to explaining the dreams. He talks about a head of gold, and he talks about silver and brass, and it gets down to clay mixed with bronze, and the stone hits the feet and it breaks it and the whole statue falls. But it was the fact that Daniel stood in front of the mightiest man in the world, and he told him what nobody else could tell him. I'm in awe sometimes. I get to stand in front of men that could buy me out five times over. I get to sit with men sometimes that own their own planes and their own jets. And for them to look at me sometimes and say, Tim, what do you think I should do? To be a ex-trailer trash D student from Eupora High School, you have no idea how humbling that is sometimes. You want to know what I think? And I know what they're thinking. Not really. I want to know what God's telling you. It's one of the most humbling moments in life when you are reaching a place in your life where, even though, yeah, you've got people over you and you're still under and it's still, but all of a sudden they notice you and they respect your righteousness and they respect your wisdom and they respect your knowledge. And that is an incredible place. I don't see a lot of young people with that anymore. I don't see a lot of hungry young people that want to be wiser than their 16-year-old counterparts. It's like a dumbed-down effect. We all just be dumb together. We'll just all do dumb things together. I'm looking for young people. I'm looking for people that will rise up and say, you know what, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be able to walk in when I'm 18 years old to an office of a 40-year-old man and sit down with him and have a conversation and him look at me and say, you're pretty smart for a kid. That's what I want. I don't want to sit down with an 18-year-old and him think I'm brilliant. I want to be able to sit down with somebody that's done life. And even though I haven't fell in all the traps, I've learned some things. And I've gained some wisdom. And I've gained some righteousness. And it's made all the difference in my life. I've got to hurry. I've got three kings to go. Maybe you're in this room today and this is where it begins with you. If you want your life to move forward, let me tell you where it starts. It starts with deciding, I am a learner. Look at the people God has put in your life around you to learn from. I'm not talking about the dumb ones around you. I'm talking about the ones that you know have accomplished something, have done something. Attach yourself to them. Hang around them. They're going to say things you're not going to like most of the time. You know why? Because they get frustrated with your junk. Most people that's further along than you, they do. They done made those mistakes. They're trying to help you get to where you don't make those mistakes. Nebuchadnezzar moves on. I'm not even have time to deal with Nebuchadnezzar's madness and how God struck him down, and for a year he ate grass and finally came to the conclusion that there is only one God, one true God. Where do you think that came from? It came from the fact that Daniel had introduced him to a God that was bigger than any God he'd ever met. So when he came to his mind, he knew about a God. See, there are so many people in my life I never won to the Lord, but I introduced them to Him. Bosses of mine that I never got to pray with, but they won't leave this world without knowing that somebody told them through their life and through their actions about a God who cares and can meet their needs. Then there came Belshazzar, still of the same Babylonian descent. You're going to reach seasons of your life where it seems like, you know what, God's done dropped me off into hell. Anybody ever been there? I mean, I had a job and all of a sudden I took this other job, it was supposed to pay more money, and I mean, it's just like I walked into torment. There was this situation. I thought if I got married, if I could marry Bill, everything would be good. I married Bill, and here we are. And I mean, I'm about ready to shoot Bill. I've about had all the Bill I can take. I mean, I thought if I had a couple kids, that would make life better. I'd have somebody to hang around and somebody to have fun with. And you know what? All they do is cry and poop. And all they do is want, and I'm the one that needs, and here they are, and I can't worry about my stuff because they got all their stuff, and they got runny noses and things going on, and that didn't make life better. It made life worse. Anybody ever just woke up in real life sometimes and thought, Lord, they'd have to die for things to get better? Well, think about Daniel. He goes from Nebuchadnezzar, a level-headed king, a king that's got his, you know, scruples on pretty good, to Belshazzar. All this dude wants to do is party, and all this dude thinks is everything's going to turn out good. Can't nobody touch me. Can't nobody mess with me. I'm above anything. I can do what I want to. I can go down to the corner down there, even though my predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had said, look, you take care of God's stuff and don't play with God's stuff. And he just so arrogant, he don't care. He goes and tells them, go get the cups out of the temple. The cups that we brought back from Jerusalem. The ones that's dedicated to, quote, God. And let's drink out of them. And let's have a party with them. And he's just that arrogant and just that way. I've had people in my life, new bosses and new people, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. What is the reason for this? And why have you put me here? But there's a reason. The second type of lesson that you'll have to learn if you're going to grow into your new year would be simply this. You're going to have to learn to teach an enduring kingdom. During this season of Daniel's life, let me show you what happened. This is the time of life when Daniel began to have visions of the future kingdoms himself. Notice Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, but this is all of a sudden now when Daniel starts to dream. He starts to dream about the leopard and about the bear. And he starts to dream about kingdoms and God's revealing things and saying, Daniel, it won't always be like this. You ever notice that when you're in the middle of that problem, that's what God yells the most? It won't always be like this. And when somebody comes around, a preacher or somebody looks at you and puts their arm around you and says, look, it won't always be like this. So you're going to get through. Man, that's just like somebody pouring cold water on you. And it's like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that it's gone. I want you to lay hands on me and make it go away. But that's not what God does. God gives us glimpses of our future. He gives us glimpses of those moments. And it's amazing. The greatest thing I do for people during that time is I remind them of what we talked about when it was in the Nebuchadnezzar season. The greatest thing I'll ever do for you during that season is if we spent time together and you shared with me, Brother Lott, here's what I want to do with my life, and here's what I want to become, and here's what I'd really like to do. Then when you hit this season, guess what I'm going to start repeating? Look now, you're just going through this season. Don't forget where we're headed. Don't forget what we're supposed to accomplish. Don't forget what God's doing in your life. This is a bump in the road. This is a season of life, but this isn't the end of the story. Don't end it right here. Don't jump off right here. It would have been easier for Daniel to say, look, this thing's never. He done got demoted. He wasn't important anymore. Everything seemed to be going wrong. I mean, you got a king that's just loopy and everything, and you're just like, God, what in the world? Is this the way it's going to end? Am I going to go down the drain with this fruitcake? Is this the way it's going to go? God begins to show him dreams. And he shows him a spiritual kingdom that will endure forever, can't end. And Daniel gets excited. This is the time when Belshazzar has the party. And Daniel's called in because nobody else can understand what's written. Once again, Daniel's called in. And he says, Belshazzar sees a hand come out and starts writing on the wall while they're having their party. And when Daniel comes in, he says, what does that say? And I love Daniel's response. He says, what it says is literally your kingdom has been weighed and it's been found wanting. See, you can't say that until God says it. There are moments in your life because you're still at a season in your life where you're an understudy. You are still an employee. You're still hooked into the marriage. You're still raising the kids. You still are having to fight the fight in that time. The moments then are more severe. They're more stringent. They're more speaking to. I mean, you got to say things at that time that you got to grit your teeth to say. I'm talking about when it seems like everything's coming apart and you have to grit your teeth and say, I will stay married. I am not walking out on this marriage. I don't care how bad it gets. These are moments when you have to say, look, I am not putting up these kids for adoption. I'm telling you, I want to sell them all right now. But I am going to see it through. I will watch them graduate. I will sit there in that front row when they walk across with that gown. If I have to force them myself, I will be there. It's going to happen. You have to fight through those moments and talk about what you dreamed and what you intended and what you wanted. It becomes seasons of your life that your words carry weight. The world won't like your words at this time. The world will turn against your words at this time. Belshazzar didn't want to hear that he was found wanting, the most mightiest king in the world. He don't want some nitwit walking in and saying, look, it's over. But Daniel said, even now, Medes and the Persians are already entering into your kingdom. They had no idea that while they were partying, the water level had gone down. And the reservoir, even though you couldn't get over the walls, the water level table had gone down, and then they're partying and they hadn't noticed that it had gone down to such a degree that a man could walk in it now underneath in the water without having to go under the water. So they just sent their whole army right through the water, came out the other end, ready to invade. In one night, Belshazzar lost his life, his kingdom, and everything. I wonder what Daniel thought at that moment. God, is this it? Is this the way it's going to end? I guess I go down with the ship. I'm going to tell you, during this time, you learn to endure. It's an old saying. It's pretty true during this season. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's sometimes, because understand now, this isn't something that's happening to me because of what I've brought on. I learned first to walk in what? Righteousness and wisdom. So I know that I haven't done anything, but here I'm stuck in this thing with these folks, and I'm stuck in this thing. You may be part of a business that, Lord, everybody's embezzled everything, and you're like, Lord, I was the honest one. God says that's when I have to step in and I have to make sure it works out for you. That's not your responsibility. It's your responsibility to speak and to stand and to do at those moments. It was not your responsibility if the other mate bailed out and decided to quit loving you and just totally messed everything up. That's not you, but you're still supposed to be righteous and you're still supposed to live right and you're still supposed to act right. And when you don't know what to do, just sit down. I could see Daniel when Belshazzar and all the kings and everybody's being gathered up and they're killing everybody and Daniel's just sitting there. Okay, Lord, there's nowhere to run. I'm part of this kingdom. They don't know whether I'm part of them or not. But when it was all said and done, Daniel was alive. Not just alive, but Darius became the next king. Now this is unique. When he made it through his tough season, here's always the next season of your life. Maybe this year brings this. Maybe you said, Pastor, I have been through trying to live right. I've done that year. Pastor, I have done the year, and I know I've done the year of just hanging on. What's the next year in my life? The next year in your life is called the year of empowerment. When you've learned something, endured something, and the enemy figured out he can't kill you, he becomes scared of you. That's a good place to be when the enemy's scared of you. The attacks are different. Oh, you still get attacked. But it's not the same. Now you're in a place of power. Now you're in a place of authority. Do you know Daniel became one of three of the mightiest men in the whole kingdom of Darius? He elected three presidents Among those presidents under them was 120 other what we call senators or people that run the country. Daniel was one of three men that were the mightiest under Darius himself. That's not a bad move up, is it? Some of you in this room, you wonder what in the world is going to happen next in my life. When I was young, I especially worried. I used to think, God, is it just pain? Is it I just take it on the chin all the time? Is that the way it's supposed to be? And God says, no. When you've endured and once you've learned and once you've grown and once I've tested your righteousness and I've tested your ability to walk in wisdom, then don't worry. Promotion does not come from east and it does not come from west. It does not come from the north or the south. You can't promote yourself into a position. I then put you in a position. I do it. Then all of a sudden those kids that struggled all those years start calling you mama. And they start taking care of you and they start loving you. That husband, that wife turns back around and apologizes for all the pain they've put you through. And all of a sudden there's a makeup now and they applaud you because you didn't give up on them during all those years. All of a sudden now at the job you're promoted where you never thought, I'll never make it here. And all of a sudden now you're a supervisor. Or you're something. And all of a sudden people look at you for advice. Brother Lott, will that ever happen? It's bound to happen. It's programmed to happen. It's designed for you. Most of us never get there. We quit it. We get fed up. We take all we can take. We throw in the towel and we miss out on the next season that God wants in our life. When I do married couples, do marriage counseling all the time. Had a couple just show up in the gym here this last week. In fact, I had two of them show up in the gym this last week. I tell them all the time, it's not complicated. Just tell me what's going on. It's not hard. Only takes about 30 minutes to solve the problems. That's why there's not a lot of scripture on marriage and marriage counseling. There's no chapter on marriage counseling in the Bible. There's no need for it. It's too simple. And it's always the same. One or both have done reached the point where they've been in this struggle and they've been in this fight and the other one won't change and this one won't listen. And they say those final words. Maybe we just weren't meant to be together. Maybe it was just a mistake. I don't even know if I love you anymore. And I sit there and I hear it. And then I tell them, well, here's the answer. There's only three things that can ruin your marriage. You either didn't leave, you didn't cleave, or you didn't become one. They did a survey the other day. And I love this survey. It makes me look smart. I always like surveys that make me look smart. And they tested all these marriages that have been together for 20, 30, 40 years. And in all of the cases, it was not an absence of problems. It was not an absence of difficulties. It was not an absence of affairs or breaking of hearts or kids dying or something. It was not magical. It was none of that. Here was the one thing that they found about all those marriages. When hard times came, they leaned in toward each other instead of leaning out. The only difference. In all of those marriages, not the absence of problems, it was the fact that they decided during the hard times, we just buckle down together. Instead of drawing back and blaming you and accusing you and stopping, we just hang on. But the baby died. We just hang on to each other. But things have gone wrong. We just hang on to each other. It is the one quality that brings you through so that at the end of that, others come around and they say, man, y'all are such a great married couple. And you look at them like you have no idea. How many times I wanted to bail. How many times I wanted to quit. How many times I thought it. But all I knew to do was just lean in. And it works that way in whatever situation in your life, whether it's with your kids, whether it's with your marriage, whether it's with your job, whether it's with your life. You just lean in. Lean into God during those hard moments of your life. Don't pull back. Lean in. Don't draw back. Lean in. Don't complain. Lean in. That's the difference between people who will make it and people who don't. Daniel, during the Belshazzar part of his life, he just leans in. He just keeps leaning in. You'll find out during that time, that's mostly when he does his praying. He does more praying during that time, sees more visions during that time. Why? Because all he has to do right then is lean in. This is not a Nebuchadnezzar time. This is not a Darius time. This is just a leaning in time. I've got to lean in. But the battles now during Darius changes. I'm promoted. I've made it. But now understand, now you have to deal with criticism. If you made it out of your marriage, they'll just say, well, you were lucky. Huh? If you got promoted, you must have cheated your way to the top. If you grow a church, you must just let anything in. That ain't a good compliment for y'all. But there, all of a sudden now the criticism begins. You have to learn that the highest level to learn with criticism is part of just the life. That's just when you finally get to a place, whether you're the manager of a situation or you're on the whatever, making out schedules or whatever it is, when you finally get promoted, you ever notice that boss will look at you and tell him, say, I'd love to swap jobs with you. Why? Because it isn't physical anymore. It's all mental. I have to be able to block out the negative now. I have to be able to deal with the criticism now. I used to just have to deal with Joe coming in talking about his hangover last weekend. That used to be my biggest problem. Now I got to deal with Joe whether I'm going to fire him or not, or whether he's going to stay or not, or whether he's going to come in or not, or whether he's going to... Lord, I'd love to just have a job where I could just go home at 5 o'clock and forget my cares and my worries and my problems. I used to think I wanted a growing church. I didn't realize how crazy I was. How many times I think I'd love to go back to that little old building with 30 people. There wasn't many problems with 30 people. I didn't have a whole lot of issues. Somebody gets sick every now and then, some little problem there, but there wasn't a whole lot of issues. It wasn't so-and-so's cousin from over here, and can you meet them over at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock? I didn't even do counseling then. Never did any counseling. The Darius moment of your life, when we learned this story. Anybody ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah. That comes through the story of Darius. It's a time where others criticize him and are critical of him and want to bring him down. Not because he's done them wrong. Simply because he's made it. And they don't like it. You'll find that happens in your life when you are smiling and say, man, my kid just graduated. The one who bailed out will look at you and say, well, you got lucky. No, I was leaning in. I was fighting through. I fought hard to get to this place in my life. Then there came one more. I know you got to go to Sunday school. The last is of the Persians. His name was Cyrus. In the first king, I learned righteousness and wisdom. In the second level of my life, I learned about an enduring kingdom. The next level of my life, I learned that I'm somebody through him. By the fourth kingdom, now I have to deal with the biggest question of my life. How it ends. How does it end? Darius is getting to be an old man now. Well, Daniel's getting to be an old man now. He realizes that I'm never going to go back to Jerusalem. I'll never get to go back to my homeland. I've read about that they'll go back, and I've... But my lot's pretty much done. You know, that gets to be... They say 50 now is a tough age. I'm not there yet. I've still got about 15, 20 years to get there. But when I do... They say it's a tough age. Let me tell you why it's tough. It's tough for this one reason. Physically, you realize now, I can't go back and I can't now. When you're 30, you can change courses. Even when you're 40, I'd have to squeeze it, work pretty hard, but I could. When you start getting 50 and older, you are what you are. It's hard to go back and reinvent the wheel then. It's hard to go back and say, I'm fixing to do a career change. Yeah, you just changed something. It ain't going to be your career. And in our lives, that's why it's so hard. Can you imagine Daniel? He's wanted all his life to go back home. He's wanted his whole life to just be close to God's people and watch all of that again. And he's seen visions, but yet here he stands in Cyrus's court and he realizes, this is who I am. This is what I was born to do. And you could think at that time that would be enough. That would be enough. I've made it. I'm a boss now. I've achieved. I'm a pastor now. I've done. You would think that's enough. But I'm going to tell you what God expects at that end. He expects us to finish well. I remember years ago an old preacher preaching that sermon and talking about Daniel's last days. And he said, when Daniel was an old man, when most of us are planning our retirement and talking about quitting and slowing down, you start to read that part of Daniel and you'll find out that's when Daniel does his 24-day fast. That's when Daniel starts praying and won't let God go. Here this old man, once again, he says, I may not be young anymore, but I can still reach God. And it's at that moment that Daniel sees the greatest visions of his life. When you start to read Daniel 9, 10, 11, that's when you're seeing an 80, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old man that's reaching the end of his fight and he's saying, I want to see it. I want to see it with my eyes. I want to be as close to God. That's when you see a man standing there and on the river Tyrus, another man standing on the other side and saying, Daniel, God heard you from the first day. God listened to you and it's been this long for me to get here. But let me tell you what God wanted me to show you. Let me tell you of things that are to be. Let me show you kings that haven't even been born yet that will reign and rule. Let me tell you about the kingdom that's to come. Daniel's 40 days that we preach about all the time. The end of the world according to the Christian community. Do you understand that happened when an old man reached back one more time and said, God, I want to be close to you again. I want to connect with you again. Some of us in our minds, we think, I've come a long ways. I've made it a good ways. I'm a lot better than I used to be. Let me tell you what God is saying. You've come close enough now to know how to get a hold of me. Now's when you need to press in. Now's when you need to come after me. Now's when you need to chase me. Now that you've been through and you won't quit. Now that you've been through and proved something. Now that you've been through and I found out and the world sees you in a different light. Now's when you need to catch a vision of something that I want to give you. Now I realize in my life all of that gets you to a point to where now if I stand in front of the church and I say, guys, God has said something to me. Ears perk up. There were seasons in my life, even pastoring here, 17, 18 years ago. If I'd have said, God said something to me, everybody would have said, yeah, right. But I've got some water under the bridge now. I've got some victories under the belt. And I've been around long enough now that even if I go to Jackson and go to a brickyard, I'm talking to the guy there. He says, tell me about how it's going. He's excited because years ago he donated the bricks that went on the front of the church. And he realizes he's a part of that. I don't know what season your life is in right now. I just know that this is 2012. And God wants you to move forward. Move out of just being righteous and wisdom. Move out of just simply going through hard times. Even if you say, "Brother Lord, I've made it a long ways," move out of there. Move out of just making it to the point to where you've endured and you can show God. Move to the point to where you can smile and tell them about the end. Let me tell you what got me saved when I was young. What won me to God. I don't remember a lot of the messages. I'm sure if you start them, I can finish them. But I'll tell you what won me to the Lord. It was men and women that did not have very much as far as the world is concerned. But they were the happiest people I ever met in my life. I had never met people so happy. I had never met people that could sing so out of tune and think they sounded so good. Most people meet you and they just look at you and say, "I can't sing." These people knew they couldn't sing, but going to sing anyway. And happy. And I thought, I want that. When I get their age, I want that. And it's not about what I make, and it's not about how high I reached, and it's not about, I just want to be able to sing. I want to know Him that well. I want to journey with Him that long. Whatever season you're going through right now, it's to get you to a season to where you can smile. And you can look at your kids and your grandkids, your cousins and wives and husbands, and smile at them and say, "It's all right. It's all going to be all right." How do you know? Because I know the one that makes it all right. I have followed Him long enough and served Him long enough. It'll be all right. Yesterday I got a chance to go see Karen. I love saved people. I'm sorry, I just like saved people. Her husband Jerry is sitting over smiling. Just smiling. If you ask him about his wife, he'll say, "She can't go nowhere till God gets ready for her." But when God gets ready for her, ain't nobody going to keep her. I like that. I got over next to her bed and just kind of talked to her. And as I talked, she opened her eyes. She just said, "Pastor." Greatest words I ever hear. Greatest words I ever hear. And I just prayed for her and she just smiled that smile. And she knows she's hurting and she knows she's tired. She knows. But she's ending well. And there's a part of me that says, "Dadgummit, you're going to get to see stuff that I have never seen before I do. And I'm the one that told you about it. That don't seem fair. I'm the one that told you about it. You get to go first." But us Christians are like that bird on the wire. We may look different. We may seem different. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We just know who we are. We know who we are. And we know who we serve. Will you stand? With every head bowed this morning, there's some of you here, God is trying to bring you through and into the next season of your life. One thing about coming into the next season of your life You got to go into it with expectation. If you're here this morning, you say, "Pastor, that's me. This year's a year I need to, more than anything else. I've got to walk in wisdom, and I've got to walk in righteousness." That's where it starts in my life. Every year I say, "This year I'm going to do better."